Hello and welcome to another episode of City on a Hill, a podcast about what it means to be a citizen of heaven and a citizen of the United States. We want to encourage Christians to find their tribe in the church and their hope in the kingdom of God, rather than to seek both in the kingdom of man. So with that, let's get to it today.
Well, hello, I am Eric Estep.
And I'm Scott Ravely.
And this is the City on a Hill podcast. Every week, I ask people to send in questions, and we've received questions. I'm reminded this is the week of Thanksgiving, and we recently had a holiday question that it's probably a while ago now, but it was fantastic. And we have recently got a question from other means that is kind of a rhyming question to the one we had before about holidays. And it's about the question in the having flags, having the American flag specifically, in our church sanctuary. So we're going to, you want to tackle that today, Scott? We can do that.
Sure.
Why not?
It's a good American holiday, Thanksgiving. So
yeah,
that's
the most American of holidays, I would think.
You might think it's pretty, it's way up there. But yeah, one of the values of being part of church is you get questions at church as well as questions submitted to a podcast email address.
This was not a formal submission. Is that what you're trying to say?
Yes, yes. This came more organically, let's say. And the question essentially is, why don't we have an American flag in our church sanctuaries? And that is a really good question, and I will say that's a question that I didn't even think about for the first 20 years of my ministry, probably. Hmm. Maybe only 10. I don't remember when I started to think about it, but it was just a thing. Everybody did it. They were everywhere. Hmm. Every church sanctuary had one that I know of. And then I began to hear about churches fighting about it, not really splitting, but nobody being happy about having a American flag in the sanctuary or having it gone.
What year?
That was around 2000, I think.
Okay.
There were several over and over and over that I remember hearing about. And that was, I suppose it might have even been somebody else's situation made me start thinking about it. Why do we have one, or why would we have one, or why wouldn't we have one? And so I suppose it's fair to go on record to say that we do not have an American flag in our sanctuary, nor do we have a Christian flag. But here are the reasons, let me say it that way. So I've got seven reasons. I don't know that they're in exactly the right order, but I'll see if we can't start down the list and talk about what those reasons are. So the first, and they're all kind of around the same topic that we try and talk about every week, really. Mm-hmm. So this should not surprise very many listeners. But the first reason is that the Bible says that the church is a holy nation. You're a kingdom of priests, a royal, we are, what are we? A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a kingdom, and people of God. And so it treats us as, you might even say, a political or national entity.
Mm.
And in the view of God, the church has its own kingdom, and to fly the flag of a different kingdom is, I would say, maybe a split allegiance or some sort of a divided allegiance that I think that we should be careful about. In fact, we've mentioned this before, but the national identity that is identified in the New Testament for the church is that of a sojourner or exile. We see that in Hebrews. We see it in First Peter. And so the relationship of the church or the Christian to the nation is one of a displaced people. In other words, we're in a land that is not our land. It's not our home. And so it's a hard call to say we need to fly the flag of a different nation, different than the holy nation the church is. So that's the first reason.
Let me read. I was sitting here trying to get my Logos up and then realized Logos starts with a very loud sound. And then so I was sitting here scrambling trying to mute it. But here's 1 Peter 2:9. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So that just that language, it's explicit, that language, that nation language.
Yeah, I should have done better quoting it. Sorry. But yeah, and that sort of makes a church a political entity, you might say. Not a political entity in let's have a voting block, or I wonder what the evangelicals think about the next president, but there is an identity that 1 Peter gives the church as a holy nation, and one that we ought to respect and pay attention to, which leads me to the second thing, and that is that I want the church to identify primarily with the worldwide people of God, or the church universal, rather than America universal. One test that I like to use for lots of things, and the more I can think about it this way, the better we'll do in making these kinds of decisions. Would we fly an American flag in a Brazilian church or in a Canadian church? And if so, why? If not, why not? And the reality is that we have a lot in common with our brothers in Christ in China, more so, really, than our neighbors who may reject Jesus.
Right.
And it's not, we don't think of it that way. We look at somebody, they look like us, they talk like us, and we think we got all kinds of stuff in common, but we have eternity in common with those who are the people of God throughout the world, and I want the church to identify with them. And so that's...
Well, I'm sure you've experienced that. You meet a neighbor across the street who's not a fellow kingdom person, and you have plenty in common. You live in the same place. You go to the same store. You go to the same coffee shop, whatever. There's plenty in common, but there's not necessarily a natural affinity there, not a natural connection. And then you meet someone in a completely different country that happens to belong to Jesus, and there's almost, wow, we're connected.
Life. Yeah,
this is incredible. And I want to make a little bit more explicit. You mentioned kind of political or kind... There was some caveat there. I'd almost push it even more. We're talking about... I'm using the language of kingdom.
Right.
That's explicitly a political thing.
Right.
There's another king that's going to show up. And preparing for this episode, just reading some arguments for... I just read a question or read a statement... there's no other country I would rather belong to than they were talking about America. And I thought, there's a country I'd rather belong to. I'd rather belong to Jesus's country and the one where Jesus is king. And when we're talking about being a kingdom people and we're still going through the Sermon on the Mount, which is all about the kingdom, it's a proclamation of something new that's coming. And the church is that little embassy that is proclaiming that other kingdom.
Right.
And that's the nation we belong to. That's the country we belong to. And it's strikingly political. So to put up a different flag and go, yeah, this over here as well, is to pull focus.
Part of the reason that I softened it, you might say, is just because we don't think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And the categories that most people have for political entity is if it isn't the Democratic Republic, or if it isn't America, it's got to be some other nation, as though I'm a communist, or as though I'm some kind of anti-American somebody or other, and I'm not. but I'm far more pro Jesus and his kingdom than I am patriotic. Mm. And as far as America goes, and so I think I would be happy to own that, but I think that we need to think that through. And the only reason I hedged a little bit was just we don't have a category for it generally.
Sure.
And maybe we'll establish one on the City.
That's exactly what we're trying to do. Yes,
it really is. Related to that is that the flag divides and distances those who have other national origins. The American flag signals to non-Americans that may be in the service that they're not one of us, or even though they might belong to Jesus, and so actually they really are one of us, and we have to decide, is this belonging American, or is this belonging the Church of Jesus? And I don't want us to confuse that. And so I think it's important for us to have to not have a symbol of belonging to something besides Jesus in our sanctuary.
Right. Or in our
worship center, yeah.
This is a little bit muddled, but I'm reminded of the Judaizers a little bit. Yeah, you can be Christians, but you got to do what we do, and you got to live life the way we live life. That's religion, and there's two different religions going on there. Well, actually, that's pretty interesting as well. So it might be more of an analog than I think, but that seems similar to me. Yeah, it's not simply you're a Christian, okay, you belong. It's plus. Do you also align yourself with this?
Yeah, that plus is actually the next reason that I would have us think about, and that is just the flying a flag of a different kingdom can represent syncretism, which is what you just said, two religions laying side by side, borrowing from one another. And in other words, to say we hope in America and in Jesus is something that is not what we want to say as we worship King Jesus. We want people to identify with Jesus rather than with some sort of Americanism. And we don't want to dilute the glory that is due God by having there be some glory deflected to some other entity or kingdom. And so, and see, this is the thing. If the flag means something in a service, that's the problem. If we want it there because it means something, then we want it there because I have this pull toward the flag, toward the nation, toward the United States. And that's a division that's, you know, that lays them side by side and makes us borrow, I think, more than we want to borrow from a non-Christian source.
And we were just talking about this in the staff meeting for our services. We're talking about our liturgy. That's not a word we often use in the service, but it's every church, I don't care which church you belong to, you have a liturgy, and a means by which the service goes and teaches the people that gather. And if you have a flag, that is a part of the liturgy. Mm-hmm. Subtly or not, I don't know the prominence that it would be in whatever sanctuary people are listening are familiar with, but that's a part of the service. That's a part of the gathering. You're teaching something. You're helping a gathered people focus in a particular way. And if it means something, then you have a divided or at least tempted liturgy that is not solely pointing worship and devotion towards the King Jesus. It's going two places.
Right. And I think it's interesting to think about it. If it doesn't mean anything, why have it? If it does mean something, you shouldn't have it. And that's it's a little tricky when you think of it that way.
Right.
That is related, again, to the next reason that I was thinking about. And that is that an American flag in the sanctuary suggests that the cause of America is the cause of God, and that the United States has a special place in God's heart. Now, just want to gasp here as I say that, because
we've talked about this before.
Yes, certainly.
Not new.
Certainly, the cause of America can intersect the cause of God. We mm-hmm. talked about that with what America had done in Afghanistan. But they are not one and the same.
Right.
And the United States, though we do a lot of things right, there's nothing biblically that would suggest the United States has a special place in God's heart with regard to any kind of a covenant or agreement or any sort of biblical blessing that God would bestow. And so when we fly the flag, though, we're suggesting both those things are true.
Mm-hmm.
That this is part of what God is doing here. And that's a struggle. And so it looks a lot like nationalism there, or Christian nationalism.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like the church to be able to separate those. And so that's one of the reasons we don't have a flag
mm-hmm.
in the sanctuary. And then another reason I think is worth thinking about, and these last couple are probably not the main ones, but I think of an American flag, particularly even in Oregon, I would say, is confusing for those who are making their way into the faith. It raises the question, what do they have to agree with in mm-hmm. order to fellowship at this church? In order to buy in all the way, what do they have to agree to? Do they have to be a Republican? Do they have to vote pro-life? Do they have to make decisions about those things first?
Mm-hmm.
You know, reminds me a little bit. I mean, we took the name Baptist out of our church. We are still Baptist.
Mm-hmm.
But I just didn't want people to have to decide about that first thing.
Right.
And I don't want them to
I'd rather you know about Jesus first.
Right. And the same thing is true with this. I want people to know about Jesus. If you want to talk politics, or if you want to talk about the sanctity of human life, I am happy to do those things.
Mm-hmm.
But I certainly don't want you to have to decide that before you decide about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it flags, shall we say, the wrong first impression there, or early impression. I would rather us wait and have decisions about that as people are being discipled, rather than whether they're evaluating, is this going to work for me?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's hard. There's already pressure. I remember we had somebody stay away for, I don't know, 6 months this year because he didn't think that there were people he could politically agree with in church.
Hmm.
And I just thought that's, first of all, it was ridiculous, but second of all, it was really sad. And I don't want that to be the issue here. So that's another reason, I think. And then the other reason, this is the weakest of the bunch in my estimation, is that is the flags in the church are a relatively new phenomenon. In other words, the church has not always flown the flag of their country. According to Christianity Today, national flags have not been adopted in general until European maritime expansion and nationalistic movement in recent centuries. Both have involved a degree of coercion and compromise against certain people to drive their ideological causes home. And so it's really only been in the last 3 or 4 centuries, probably, mm-hmm. that churches have flown the flag of the expansion, or the, I'm getting, I've lost the word.
Like jurisdiction?
The empire. Yeah, right. Some imperialistic kind of a thing. And that's just not, it's new. It's not a necessity. Because one of the questions was, is this something that would happen around the world? Mm-hmm. In other words, we fly the American flag anywhere in the church. The other thing is, would we fly it any time in history? Mm. And I think you know, the historical questions are helpful too. So the time and place help me distill the essence of what's church. And so that's one of the things that I would think about. The other is that when you're talking about the flag and church in American history, it hasn't always been a fixture. And when it came into the church, it came for reasons that were often troubling in a specific historical moment. And this is a historian, Thomas Kidd, who wrote that in the Gospel Coalition article about it. In other words, it came in when we were at war. It came in when the churches were being used as essentially megaphones for a patriotic cause.
Mm. And probably magnified during the Cold War, during the 50s with In God We Trust and all those additive pieces to distinguish between communist atheism and religious America.
And there were some very interesting, in fact, I think he talks about it, some interesting and troubling illustrations of this with the Civil War. There were places on the, you know, on the border where a church in the north would use the building in the morning and a church in the south used it in the evening, and one left the flag up, and you know, it was a mess. And so I think that's one of the
things. Talk about church politics.
Yeah, there are problems I'm glad I don't have. Let's just say that. Yeah. One of the other things that probably is worth mentioning, partly because it came up when I got the question from somebody in the church, is, well, why not the Christian flag? Why don't we have the Christian flag? And the Christian flag is not historical either, of course.
Jesus didn't give us the Christian flag?
It was designed...
Right before the Ascension?
A little after that. It was designed in 1907 and adopted by the ecumenical organization now referred to as the National Council of Churches in 1942, which is kind of an interesting thing. Most of the people who want a flag in our sanctuary would not be very happy if we were members of the National Council of Churches, which is kind of an interesting thing. But again, 1942 tells me historically a little bit what was going on in the world there. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is interesting too. But the reality is, it's not a fixture in the Church of Jesus Christ throughout the world, the American flag. It's not a fixture in the Church of Jesus Christ throughout history either. Mm-hmm. And so I don't feel an obligation to have it, and I don't think that it's helpful in reminding people that their primary allegiance belongs to Jesus, their primary citizenship is in his kingdom, and their relationship to the United States and the world that they're in is that of an exile and a stranger. And so as we just stir that all together, really would hope that people get those things and recognize that their true hope is in King Jesus, and he'll one day establish his kingdom. And that's what we're in church for. So
amen. I agree. And whatever we can do to take down barriers so that they can quickly align themselves that way more easily, I think that's helpful.
Yeah, and I think it's important because I've been misunderstood as recently as 2 weeks ago as being anti-flag or anti-United States. And I just want to say it again. I'm not. happy to fly a flag on a holiday at home, and would never, I don't want to live anywhere else. But that's different than flying it in a church worship service or worship gathering. And it's different than saying, yes, I live in Oregon. I like the ducks and the beavers better than I like the huskies and the cougars, but that's just a function of where I live. And if the function of where I live is I love America and I love the flag, and that's great. But that isn't part of my faith. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's, that's what people want to do, is we want it to be part.
Right.
And it's not part. And so that's why we don't have it in our sanctuaries.
Right. And we'll keep piecing these things apart. This is the task we've given ourselves, and we're glad to do it. And I think it's, I was texting with a friend the other day that I think this is help the church needs, and we're happy to go after it and try to help people think well about these things. So we're going to keep doing it. And if you do have questions, even if they're about things like flags and churches, please send them our way at podcastofnewlifenw.com. Don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Rate us if that's an appropriate action on whatever thing you're using. If you find what we're doing helpful, a review definitely goes a long way, and share it with a friend. And also, it's Thanksgiving, or it just was Thanksgiving. Hug a friend. I'm just really excited that I get to actually be with people this year, so I'm thankful for that. And we will look forward to the next conversation.